Praise the Lord. He's able. Anybody believe that this morning? God is able to do exactly what his words say. Amen. Amen. He comforts, he heals, he delivers, he restores, he builds up. God is able. If you accept his word, accept him and believe it, and then put it into action in the name of Jesus. This word has to be put into action, not just read. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, we are so grateful that you're able, God. You're able to meet each and every one of us right where we are, Lord God, and just walk this walk with us, Lord God. So, God, we thank you for that, God. Father God, we thank you for forgiveness, Lord God, because we do fall short of your glory. But the good news is that you told us that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and you're just to forgive us, Lord God, and restore us, Lord God. So, God, sweep through here and forgive us all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. God, we come today, Lord God, with different challenges on our hearts and on our minds. But God, we believe that you're able to meet us right there, heal, deliver, restore, and build us up, God. So God, we're saying in our spirit, it's already done, and it is so, God. So we're just expecting you, God, to do great things in our lives, God. Whatever it is, we come this morning with great expectations, Lord God, because we believe that you are able, Lord God. So, God, if there be anything in me that's not pleasing to thee, strip it away right now. Take it away in the name of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. And let your power, your presence, your glory, your anointing be felt throughout this entire building. Holy Spirit, have your way. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, that we do pray. Let the church say amen. 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 Yeah, God. Second Sunday, what do you have for us, God? Have your way. Our message this morning is from Hebrews chapter 4, amen. The fourth chapter of Hebrews. The fourth chapter. And if you would go down to verse 16. And when you have found it, I ask that you please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 16. So we thank you, God, in advance, God. God, we're going to read this word with expectation, God, because you are able to do exactly what your word says. If you are able, please stand in reverence to God's holy word. God, we thank you in advance. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And it reads this way in my Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And the word of God reads, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You may be seated. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen, baby. Yeah. Nobody talks back to me. The baby's going to talk back to me today. But I want you to keep these three words in your spirit this week and on your journey with God. So our title this morning is Pray with Confidence. Pray with confidence. I just want you to just get this in your spirit. You can just say it quietly to yourself. I am going to pray with confidence. The message last week was entitled The Need for Prayer. And I believe this morning, and I believe you all will agree with me, that with all the trials and the tribulations and the hurts and the disappointments and the uncertainties and just trouble all around us, that there is a need for prayer.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we must pray with confidence, not doubting the power of prayer. See, the believer must understand that there is true power in this privilege that God has given us to approach him and to approach his throne in prayer. He has granted it to each one of us, this holy privilege to come to him. See, prayer is one of the many spiritual disciplines which allows us the opportunity to commune with God, to enter into his presence, to communicate with him. And too often, believers fail to utilize this privilege in every area of their lives. See, I just believe, people of God, I just believe that we need to pray about everything concerning all aspects of our lives. See, I have seen it for myself. Wow, how it really turns out when I don't approach God in prayer. When I try to make my own decisions. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, you tried to do it on your own. You didn't seek the Heavenly Father for directions. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? So I ask you the question, how did that work for you? Really? But God has given us this privilege, you all. But we did talk about, before you talk to God, you have to be in this relationship. You must be in a relationship with God. So I'm going to try to move to our morning scripture, but if God shifts me away from it, okay, it's all good, they say. So our morning scripture from Hebrews, as many of you know, we are studying this book of the Bible, this epistle. And we're at chapter 11 this weekend. Chapter 11 focuses on the faith and the faith of God's people and gives us examples of people of faith. But beyond studying this epistle, church, I want you to hear this. We are learning to apply the word of God to our lives. Because knowledge, if you don't know how to apply it, doesn't mean anything. So as we study, first of all, we must believe it. And then we must apply it. See, I just believe God is equipping us for service. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for prayer. So as we study this book, we want you to know what we're learning. We've learned about this epistle that it was written about AD 70. And the theologians are debated who wrote the book. This is what we're learning, you all. And some say Origen, a Christian leader back in the 3rd century, wrote that book. Others said Luke. No, it was Luke. Just look how it's being worded. It was Luke. No, it was Apollos. So they're just debating. Somebody said, no, it is Barnabas. I know how Barnabas writes. Others said, no, that was Priscilla. You heard Priscilla speak. Oh, no, that was Aquila. That was her husband. No. But as we studied this book, we decided the conclusion of the matter that only God knows for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. But all that matters to us is that it is God's holy word and that all scriptures inspired by God and is profitable, is useful for teaching us. For teaching us how we should behave.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that's all that matters, church. You don't have to be searching all over trying to find out who wrote Hebrews, because it really doesn't matter. What really matters is when you open this book, that you believe that it's the word of God and it's how we're to behave. Let the church say amen. Amen. So in this book of Hebrews, we are told that God has spoken through Jesus Christ. You know about the Old Testament, that when it came time for forgiveness of sin, that they had to sacrifice animals because to get the blood to cover their sin. But Hebrews taught us that when God sent Jesus, Jesus was the final sacrifice, that his blood is all we need, that the blood still works, so we can pray in confidence because the blood still works, still works, still works. That blood still heals our pain. It still works. That's all that matters. The blood still works, you all, but we must believe it. That blood still restores us. The blood dries our tears, and the blood comforts us. The blood gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. So Jesus settled it all. No more killing bulls and lambs. Jesus is the final sacrifice. Let the church say amen. And because of the blood, because of the blood, we are forgiven. Because of the blood, we can live abundantly here on earth. Because of the blood. So as we approach the throne of grace with confidence, the word tells us that we receive mercy. We receive grace to help us in a time of need. Anybody in need this morning? I just believe somebody under the sound of my voice need God to do something. So you pray in confidence and believe the words that Jesus spoke to all of us. He said, if you abide in me and if my word abide in you, you ask what you want in confidence and it will be done for you. But you must believe it. See, this word is for believers. That blood, the blood, the blood still works. And Jesus said, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide, abide in my love. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So I'm telling you all this morning, a lot of things are going on, but we've got to pray in confidence. You can't pray and doubt that God will do it exactly what he said. You must pray and believe that it is so, people of God. When you pray, you celebrate. Thank you, God, for answering. God, I know you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it and when you're going to do it, but God, you're going to do it. And it is so. Come on, people of God. We have to approach the throne boldly in confidence. Come on, please. Because sometimes we pray. We got some of the prayers that say, I pray, but I don't know what's going to happen. I pray, but I don't know where God is going to do. Are you a but person in here? Do you pray and put but behind it? But today God is saying to the church, if you're going to approach my throne with confidence, abide in me and it is so, and I'm going to do it for you. Come on, people of God, let the church say amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God, help me. Help me come back to what I... Hallelujah, God. It is so. If you want healing, you pray in confidence. If you want to be confident, you pray in confidence. Don't you waver and don't you doubt. Holy Spirit, help me. Hallelujah, God. Don't you waver on this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We're told that when the author wrote this book, he was writing to Christians who were not eyewitnesses to Jesus. They had learned from people that had seen Jesus and had walked with Jesus. See, remember, Jesus told his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. So obviously they were obedient because this was second generation Christians. Hallelujah. As they wrote this book, as he wrote it, he knew during that time that these Christians were beginning to fall away from Jesus. They were struggling because they were under persecution for their faith, you all. They were in prison and they lost property because of their faith. So he wrote to them. Then he looked around through it all. They had ceased to come together as a church family, as Christians. They were in the process of falling away from the Lord because things got kind of tight for them. Have you ever been there? You're going through so much and you don't know what God is doing that you're beginning to step back and try to handle it your way. But the Bible says, don't you throw away your faith in God. Don't you throw away your confidence in God. It will richly reward you. It is eternal, you all. There's an eternal blessing from not moving away from God. Help me, Holy Spirit. Don't you throw away your confidence in God. You may be hurting today. Don't you throw away your confidence in God. What did y'all say? He's able. Where else can you go? To the phone? Those people can't help you. They got more drama than you have. The Bible tells us to go to the throne of grace and pray in confidence. Holy Spirit, help me. So this writer is telling them, stop it. Don't you move away from God. Don't you return back to your old habits and your old ways. That if you stick with Jesus, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. I know you're going through some things, but you're going to be blessed. This just reminds me when you're going through, James wrote this, brothers and sisters, whenever you have trials or tribulations, count it all joy. Consider it all joy because you know that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Hold on to God's unchanging hands. He'll bring you through it. So God is saying to someone this morning, it's only a test. Don't you give up on God because God won't give up on you. It's only a test. Is only a test. What we do here is based on the word that John gave us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. For everyone that believeth in him, you should have eternal life. But you must believe this. You must believe it. So don't you throw away your confidence in God. It will determine your eternal life. It will determine where you go after you leave this earth. Don't you throw away your confidence in God. So Abundant Life, I'm going to declare over us that we are not those who will shrink back. We're not going to turn our backs on God. We're not going to doubt God's promises because we believe that word and we are saved and delivered because of it. Don't you throw away your confidence in God. But God wants us to know doubt will block your prayers. So you must pray with confidence, not wavering. When we pray, we must not. If we doubt, the word says this, you're like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. That person should not receive anything from God because they're double-minded. They're saying one thing and they're doing another. They're asking one thing and they're acting another way. They're double-minded, unstable in all their ways. People of God, we must pray with confidence. We have a mighty work to do, but when we approach our Heavenly Father, we must approach him in confidence and say, it is so. See, when I pray, I celebrate during my prayer. God, I know you're going to answer me. God, I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to heal me. I will wait for my deliverance. I trust you just that much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say, faith means resting in what Christ has already done and what he will do now and forever, being confident. So do you really pray? I'm going to just talk back to me. When you pray, do it, you expect God to do something. Really? Or do you pray out of habit? People say, go pray. We open the altar. Come on down and pray. But when you pray, do you pray in confidence? Or are you wavering? I don't know. Don't wink at me. Don't wave. But I just want to know. Really. When you pray, do you expect God to do something? See, if you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, he will do exactly what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Help me, God. I love you, Lord. So as we continue to read this epistle, we recognize that it's highlighted that Jesus the Christ is supreme over all the prophets and all the angels. That's why we should listen to what Jesus is telling us. Mm-hmm. Jesus told us this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that stuff you need here on earth, I will provide. So I'm asking you, don't wave at me. What is first in your life? If God really first in your life, come on, people of God, don't wink at me. But mirror in your face. Really, do I put God first? What do I love more than I love God? God said, get rid of it this day and commit to me and pray in confidence. Come on, people of God. Hallelujah. Get rid of it, because we all got some stuff. Y'all, come on, let's talk. We got to get rid of. And we're to be prayer warriors here on earth. So if we're going to cast down some stuff, we're going to have to pull out some junk in ourselves. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we do. Hallelujah. Because even when we don't understand what God is doing, don't you step away. Because what does the word say? All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Are you walking in your purpose? Do you know what God has purposed you for? Really? See, that the world got so many shiny things and things that attract us. Really, that would pull us away from God. But we have decided in this place, we're going to follow Jesus, and we're not turning back. Sometimes we have to leave friends and family behind, but we're not turning back in the name of Jesus. God, help me close this thing. Hallelujah. Perseverance, endurance. As a Christian, we must be able to do those things. I read that it's a spiritual grace that God gives us when we are facing trials and tribulations. He gives us through the Holy Spirit the power to persevere, yes, to endure. But you must have that power. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you have that power? Do you have that Holy Ghost power that you can walk through things when you're broken and look to the hills where cometh your help? Come on, do you have that power? Do you have the Holy Ghost power? Come on. If you do, you can pray with confidence. Oh, yeah. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Oh, God is saying to the church, when you approach me in prayer, yes, you are communing with me, but communication is a two-way street. Are you just busy talking and not listening to me? I don't know who this is for, but God said, I need you to listen. God is saying to somebody, can you hear me now? Are you listening? Can you hear me now? So he's saying to the church, when we pray, we must be still. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. God is saying to someone, I've spoken to you, but you must listen. And he's saying, as you listen, can you hear me now? And if you can hear, follow my will for your life. Hallelujah, God. So I believe God is equipping us, you all. But he needs us to listen and obey. If you're in communication with someone, you don't do all the talking. Come, do you? Maybe some of us do. But God is saying today, listen. I will speak to you. I will give you your marching orders. But listen. And if you listen, I just believe, like the songwriter wrote, God will order our steps in his word. It went on, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Not some days and sometimes. Lead me and guide me every day. God, send your anointing. Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. See, I just believe if we pray with confidence, God will order our steps, people of God. If you pray in confidence, hallelujah, the God of the universe will order your steps. If you pray in confidence, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, based on the power in us, he will order your steps. Help me, Holy Spirit. As we pray in confidence unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with glory, exceeding joy, when we pray in confidence, when we pray in confidence to the one and only wise God, God our Savior, when we pray in confidence, we say, God, because you answer, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, now and forever, when we pray in confidence. So as I depart from this place, God is saying, people of God, pray in confidence in the name of Jesus the Christ, for victory is in Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. He is light in the darkness, people of God. He's a promise keeper. Oh, yes, he is. And I just say, it is so. It is so. And to the family, as you pray, you praise. But see, praise is going to be our weapon. People expect us to be falling down and crawling around. But you pray in confidence. And then you praise God, because praise is your weapon. Praise has confused the enemy. Praise is going to confuse the gossip. It's going to shut it down. Praise is your weapon. So through it all, you praise God through this. And you pray in confidence in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You pray in confidence and expect things to turn around. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Some of us are hurting this morning. Oh, yes, we are. But we're going to press on with praise. Hallelujah.